You know it's a dream because you can't read the street signs, but you get on the train anyway and find a spot next to the window as it pulls slowly out of the station. You pass high-rises and factories, switching yards and loading docks. The train picks up speed on the way out of the city. Telephone poles flash by. That's another thing that doesn't work in dreams, the phone. You keep straining to hear someone at the other end. Now you cross the county line and the buildings thin out. You're looking down into scabby backyards, laundry on lines and kiddie pools upended, dogs circling on chains. It seems wrong to look at the backs of houses where things are junked and abandoned, piled up and unsorted. You have been here before. You're sure of it now. The train slows into that half-familiar neighborhood. You step onto the platform. The shops are cleared out like gangs had come through and looted your memories. But you keep moving through the foggy streets, recognizable only after you see them, not before. That bridge over there, for example, or the tool shed nearly visible through the trees. A photographer once told you, look forward, yes, but don't forget to look back. And now you turn and squint over your shoulder, and it was there right behind you all along. The small house rises on concrete steps, the rough wooden planters wet and rotten. You stand before its ghostly shape, veiled in fallen clouds. It seems to have no foundation, a ship on a blurry ocean. You imagine a family inside moving about, the dinner table set, the folded napkins, a leather briefcase in a hall closet, all the agreed-upon details of this groundless evening. You push on the front door. It opens easily. You step onto the speckled formica of the entry. Down the hall, you hear voices and the sound of the TV, but you go into the child's room instead. Pull the blanket and sheet off the bed, then look underneath, and at last find what you're searching for, a nightlight left burning for years.